What's up and welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, June 15th, 2023. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes, and it is my pleasure to be joined by the voice of Clive, the main character of Final Fantasy 16, Ben Starr.
Wow. I've seen these, obviously, from afar for a very long time, but they are powerful in real life. Those fog machines.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And they will definitely go off many times because that's what we like to do here in the spare bedroom. Ben, first off, your name is Ben Starr.
Yeah.
Like, that is just two R's in that, too.
Yeah. So that is my real surname as well. Like, some people think that, like, you know, when you're an actor, you change your name. No, that is my real name. But the problem is whenever I say it to people, they do think, is he a dickhead? Is he the person who changed his name to Star? You know, his name is just like something very mundane. But no, my name is Star with two R's. So good. They added a second R.
I absolutely love it. Just like I absolutely love you. Here's the thing. I had the pleasure of meeting you just a couple days ago at Summer Game Fest. But before that, me and you have been DMing a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And you revealed pretty early on that you're a legit Kinda Funny best friend.
Yeah. I think for the past 3 years, I think I've watched every single episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily.
And you're here now.
And here I am. Yeah. I mean, I kind of teased you with like, let Tim host, right? I was like, please let him know that I'm a real fan.
I love it. I love it so much. I appreciate that, obviously. But like, more than that, I was talking to you this weekend at Summer Game Fest, and you blew my mind just talking about your taste in video games. Because like, you're in this shit.
Yeah. I'm well into it. So I've been playing games since I was, I don't know, since I was a kid, but like since PlayStation 1, really hardcore. And it's my passion. It's my life, right? I am an actor, but like every other spare moment, I am trophy hunting on PlayStation.
What was the last game you got a platinum in?
Resident Evil 4 Remake.
What about before that?
You were talking about, Sonic Frontiers.
Sonic Frontiers! This man platinum Sonic Frontiers! Yeah, that's where he's at!
Yeah, or as I like to call it, there's a fish for that. the game where basically you can do anything just by fishing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's not really about running around. It's like, just spend ages getting fish and then selling them and then leveling up. I loved it. I think that Sonic Frontiers was I was having Christmas by myself. And I thought, what am I going to play? I love those lizard brain kind of games where you just go and collect for kind of no reason, but you're just going, I'm going to do it. I want to complete the map. I had so much fun. I loved it. I think you guys, you know, it's like a 7 out of 10 game that you love, like a 10 out of 10. That is Sonic Frontiers for me.
Yeah.
So, and I loved your hype for it. I mean, you're not wearing your chain.
Not today.
But I love that you guys love it in the kind of the same way that I love it.
So that's Bless. Frontiers was not my jam, actually. I wanted it to be, you know, but Bless is the one that loves that one.
Yeah.
Did you get to play Sonic Superstars?
No, I didn't. But I got really excited when I saw it at the Games. So I was at the Games Fest opening. And I got really excited because I know that a lot of people have been hankering for that kind of Sonic feel, right? After Mania, everyone wants to go back to 2D.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't.
Pretty good.
I mean, you've played it, right?
I did. I got my hands on it.
You giving your impressions on it?
Yeah. It's not quite as good as Mania simply because I feel like the art style and music is really like added so much to Mania, but it feels just like it. So I think from a gameplay perspective, this is going to be really, really, really good. I'm excited for it.
I mean, I'm not like a Sonic. There it is. I'm not like a Sonic kid. Like Frontiers is probably the first one that I actually have properly played. But this looks really cool, right? And I think for first timers and people who've never played them before, it looks like a game that I could probably really get into. So
I'm
excited. But I love games a lot.
Yeah,
I spent this year like playing a lot of like massively long RPGs. So I did Octopath Traveler 2. And an amazing game called Chained Echoes. I'm in my RPG era right now playing stuff.
Chained Echoes is something that has never been brought up at this table. You want to talk about it for a sec?
Chained Echoes is an incredible RPG that kind of has like a throwback to Chrono Trigger. It is so cool. It's got this incredibly defined combat system. The art style is absolutely brilliant. Matthias Linder, who made it, you can see it there. It's made by this tiny, tiny team. And it's just gorgeous. You see that kind of like beautiful kind of like 16-bit art style. The combat system is seamless when you go in and out of it, and they've really, really nailed it. It's so refined. The music's brilliant. Go and play it.
So you're out here platinuming video games left and right. You're playing all these RPGs. Since the PS1, it was your passion, it was your thing.
Yeah.
You're now the voice of the main character in a mainline Final Fantasy, and not just a mainline Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah.
I feel like there is so much on this one.
Yep.
The demo just came out a couple days ago.
Yep.
everyone is loving it. Everyone at home, I've seen you tweeting about it. You're like, hey, Tim, you were right after your preview. Like, this game is incredible. How is this all feeling for you right now?
It's really strange. And when you say that the pressure's on, thanks for that. That really that makes me feel so excited. I'm not really processing it. I'm having, I think I've said a lot, this out-of-body experience whereby, like, my favorite video game franchise of all time is Final Fantasy. Like, this is the video game franchise that got me into playing video games. 8 was my first, then I went and pretty much played all of them. I understand the pressure that it's massive because it means the world to me, these video games. I would have bought this game day one had I not been involved in it. And I just love the reaction that everyone's had to the demo. I'm finding it pretty surreal that it's been such a little secret for so long, and now I don't know how many people are playing that demo right now, but a lot of people are playing that demo and a lot of people are loving it, or they're watching people play it. So yeah, it's cool. And the fact that I'm here with you makes it even cooler.
It's awesome. All this is awesome. Hey, you know what's even cooler is that after this game's daily, we're going to hang out and do the normal super chat thing with y'all, and he's going to come join us. So if you have any questions for Ben, please send them through and we will answer them here. And then after that, he's going to sit with Mike, who's going to play through the demo for the very first time. So we're going to have a lot of fun today here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, where we run you through all the video game news that you need to know. Today's stories include Sony doubling down on its strategy, Dead Cells gets an animated series, that is awesome, and more, because like I said, this is KFGD. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on YouTube or roosterteeth.com. And if you want to listen as a podcast, just search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Games Daily, and we will be right there for you. If you want to go above and beyond, though, you're going to want to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can throw a couple bucks our way and get the show ad-free, get a whole bunch of bonus content, and you can be a Patreon producer, just like Casey Andrew, Delaney Twining, and James Hastings have done. Thank you all for your support. If you don't have any dollars to toss our way, that is totally cool. When you're on the Epic Game Store, please use our creator code KINDOFFUNNY, and at no extra cost to you, we get some money. It's great. It helps us keep the lights on, and it's all fantastic stuff all around. A little housekeeping for you. It's summertime, baby. It's a buy two, get one free on the RT storefront with the code KFSUMMER at checkout. So you can go to store.roosterteeth.com to get any of our things. Buy two, get one free. Use the code KFSUMMER. Over on Patreon, a new episode of Kind of Feudy is up, where Bless asks us about Toys to Life games. Do I get played or do I come victorious? You'll have to watch and find out. I have been on a winning streak, though, so just know that. Today, we're brought to you by Honey Rocket Money, and a special thank you to Amazon Gaming and Summer Game Fest for partnering with us this showcase season. You can go to amazon.com/summergamefest all summer long to discover the top new and upcoming games. But that's enough about that. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 8 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
How's it feel on this
side?
Yeah,
that's cool. That's cool.
It's cool?
Yeah, it's really cool. Feels really good. Guys, it's like you'd expect it to be. It's nice.
There's a smell. You don't expect the smell, you know?
It's the smell of success, Tim, is what it is.
Thank you for that. Story number one, Sony says it's not releasing its first-party games on PS Plus on day one, and it's working. This comes from Chris Scullion at VGC. Sony Interactive Entertainment still has no plans to put its first-party games on PlayStation Plus on the day of release, according to a key exec. In an interview with GamesIndustry.biz, Vice President and Global Head of Subscriptions, Nick McGuire, said the company has no interest in making all its first-party games available on day one like Microsoft does with Xbox Game Pass. Quote, "We're happy with our strategy. Putting games in a bit later in the life cycle has meant that we can reach more customers 12, 18, 24 months after they've been released. We're seeing customers still get excited about those games and jumping in. For us, that's working. Occasionally, there'll be an opportunity to invest in a day-and-date release like Stray, and we will jump on those when they come in. But for us, letting those first-party games go out to the platform outside the service first, that's working, and that will continue to be our strategy moving forward." When asked if the strategy could change in the future for PlayStation's planned live service titles in order to ensure a large audience for them at launch, McGuire didn't commit either way. "We're constantly working out what the right strategy is moving forward. How are player habits going to evolve, and how do we make sure the service meets those future habits? There's no more I can say on that at this moment, but obviously we're keeping close to it and thinking about the role that Plus can play moving forward. Ben, does this surprise you at all?
No, of course it doesn't. PlayStation have laid out that store really, really early on, and they know exactly what they're doing, right? Like, they make premium games. They want you to buy premium games in a premium way, and they're going to keep doing it. It's working for them. Like, they've changed PS Plus. People are bought into it. The extra tier is worth it. Is the premium tier worth it? Like, if you like those classic titles. But yeah, extra works for people. How many people played Stray when it came out, you know, on the extra tier? It was because it was available at no extra cost. But the big titles, God of War, people are going to pay for them because they're amazing. And, you know, like, why wouldn't you? They don't need to change their strategy. It's been made very clear this generation, Xbox are doing one thing, PlayStation are doing their own thing. Like, we're just trying to figure out what works for them. It's like, if it ain't broke, and it doesn't seem to be broken.
Exactly. I do think it's interesting to look at the other side of things of Xbox, of having Game Pass and seeing how much it has worked for them in the last couple of years where, quote unquote, they have no games, where mm-hmm. it's like they do have this service and they have the ability to, the games they do have that they're putting out, be there day one, whether it's third party, them doing all the Persona partnerships and things like that with Atlas. Like, that is huge, and they're kind of bolstering the greatest value in video games, right? It's still there. But with what we just saw from the Xbox showcase this weekend, the dominoes are about to start to fall.
I love
hopefully.
It. Your dominoes will fall, Tim. They will fall one day for one you, won't they? I just want to fight back. Xbox have games. No, they don't. They have so many games. People say, why is it the best deal in gaming? Because there are just so many amazing games that you can play at no extra cost on Xbox.
Yes.
It's just that good. If anyone asks me, it's like, oh, you know, what should I get into gaming? I always be like, well, PlayStation, you have this. Xbox, if you're not sure what you want, you can just pay a subscription, and you don't even have to buy the box, right? You can just play on your Samsung TV. Mm-hmm. It's really, really cool. And I do think they make a lot of games available to people who otherwise wouldn't play them. Like the amount of people that play Pentiment, you know, just because it was available to play. So I would push back and say there are no games. But, you know, people do want, you buy the box, you want those premium games. And I loved the Xbox showcase.
Incredible.
I thought it was amazing. I mean, I shouted in the street when I saw Fable. I'm just so excited to play Fable. And I think because it just has that really brilliant British sense of humor that you're worried, how is that going to translate into 2023? But it was hit after hit. And, you know, Starfield, man, like the size of that game.
So that's my thing, is like I think they have no games thing. It's like, clearly they do. And even this year, Hi-Fi mm-hmm. Rush being a major standout for me, one of my favorite games of the year so far. I can't wait for more of that. But you know what we're talking about. They don't have the God of War level game.
No.
They don't have these big ones, but they're about to.
Yeah, they are
like
about
Starfield
to.
Is about to be day and date on this service. Fable, when it comes, day and date on the service. And they've already kind of, you know, stuck their claim that every one of their first party games will be there. And I wonder at what point that actually does affect Sony's strategy, if it ever will. I do think that they are still so far out from that the proof's in the pudding. Mm-hmm. Those games can't just be announced. They need to actually come out and be the quality levels that they kind of have to be in order to be on that same kind of pedigree. But I do think that we are about to enter a very interesting, like, let's say, what does 2025 look like?
Yeah.
When Xbox is releasing, hopefully, major quality titles 3-4 times a year mm-hmm. with the Pentiments that are super quality but a little smaller peppered in, the Hi-Fi Rushes, like, still in addition to the Starfields and the Perfect Darks and the Halos and the Gears on that level.
But I mean, I get the frustration, right? It's like in that time that you're waiting, you are still paying a subscription per month. So it's like, are you getting value for money on your subscription? So that's the worry. But like, kind of maybe like pivoting a little bit back to PlayStation, I think they have this perfect model at the moment where you have the premium games, and then there are games that are still brilliant because they still have those smaller titles that they want to push. Like, I'm so excited for Viewfinder. Like, there are these games that they want to push, and they can do because they have a platform that they have built that is incredibly popular that you can just put stuff on and make people play and enjoy. And if you don't have, you know, PlayStation Plus Extra, you can still purchase it at a fee of whatever, $20, $30, and it's still worth it. Like, PlayStation have this, what's currently working, hybrid model that they have no reason to change because it's
working.
Because it's working, and it's premium content, and they want you to know it's premium content by saying, pay $70 for it or whatever it ends up being.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's You bringing up the Samsung TV thing, when I was down at Summer Game Fest recently, last year I got to do the demo of the Samsung Gaming Hub integration. And this year I got to play a little bit and see like the next iteration, some of the things that they've added. And this is now almost a year removed from it being available for people just in the public, in the wild. And it is so impressive how much it works. It's still not perfect. I'm a tech guy that cares about things being perfect and like hardwired internet and all that stuff. And because of that, like, this is never going to be my preferred way to play these games. But the idea that I can be playing a game downstairs and then want to go upstairs because Gio wants to use the big TV, and I can go upstairs and use, at this point, multiple different entry points to play Xbox games, that is really, really impressive for the level that it works. And I was so impressed with, I was doing the demo, and they're like, oh yeah, play Fortnite.
Yeah.
And I played Fortnite, and there was like three different setups they had. One was like a computer monitor, one was a TV, and one was just like a laptop thing. And you go in, and it's that cloud-based, so you click it, don't even need to download, you're just playing. And I was like, I'm not a Fortnite guy.
Yep.
So after the third time of me having to play Fortnite, I was like, I'm going to pop over to Hi-Fi Rush and see what this is about. And I thought they were going to be like, no, don't do that. Because Hi-Fi Rush, rhythm game. Like, you can't have the latency. It needs to be perfect. And I was like, I'm going to do it. And they're like, yeah, go for it. That surprised me.
Yeah.
I hit play, took 2 seconds, game loads up, and I was playing. I'm like, it's definitely a little, there's some latency, but you can wrap your mind around it and it still works. I was blown away by that. And I was playing it when it was connected hardwired, and I was like, this totally works. This is great. Then later when I was playing, it was on a thing that was completely wireless.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we're on Wi-Fi at Summer Game Fest. There's no way that this is a great signal right now. And it was more than playable for a rhythm game, not the way people should be playing that. No. So I just think that if we're here now in 2023, where is this just going to evolve to, where once the hit games are coming out for Xbox, the smaller games are coming out for Xbox, Game Pass is still there, xCloud is better than it's ever been.
Yep.
That's going to be such a dominant potential for the gaming industry at large. And I also love that PlayStation, even if that's all true, doesn't need to change a thing, because what they're doing is working, and if they continue that, it will still be working. I do think it's important to bring in the live service games they're talking about, these multiplayer games, Marathon, and all the other ones that they talked about, the Haven Studios game, everything they talked about at the PlayStation Showcase. They even brought up here of like, don't you want a bigger user base, right? I do think that I expect that these games will be day and date on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, interesting. Like, I think that what was made very clear in that PlayStation Showcase, which Final Fantasy 16 also shared out, by the way, like that trailer. Always on brand.
Hell yeah.
They set out their stall, right? Of like, this is going to be a part of what the PlayStation ecosystem is going to be. This isn't the what we would consider to be the AAA third person action adventure story based things that a lot of people come to PlayStation for. And I think I could sense afterwards, and you guys as well, you spoke about it. It wasn't a highly rated showcase because it was something that seemed different. It didn't seem PlayStation. But I think that's because we weren't able to see the other things that are surrounding that. And I think it's great that you see PlayStation diversifying in that way. Not every game can be played by every player. Like, we forget that, like, we're not going to like all video games. And I think they've realized that there is a niche here that they want to reach as many people as possible. And they've gone, right, we've cornered that market. We're always going to make amazing third-person games. People are always going to come to us for that. What about live service? How do we make that accessible? And I'm interested to see which ones that do come, like, day and date to that. Because, as we know, money isn't made on these things when you purchase them with the initial purchase. It's the billions of pounds or dollars that they make from FIFA Ultimate Team or whatever, or Fortnite making this monthly revenue, Grand Theft Auto Online. That's where the money's made. Get them in. Apex Legend is probably the best example of that I've ever seen. You know, a game that no one really knew about, bam, available to everyone, and then suddenly it's still one of the most profitable games of all time. So it wouldn't be a surprise if they do that. And I think they're prepping themselves up to increase the diversity of players on their platform.
Yeah. And that, you're right, it is only a good thing, but you got to bring the goods. You can't just have a thing that makes money. You have to have a good thing that makes money and that people actually want to pay for because they're getting something from the product. And that's what we see from things like Fortnite and Apex and Destiny. But even all of those to this day have problems. But the thing is, they listen to the community.
Yeah.
And I feel like you see the feedback, you see oh, we tried this. Oh, we're taking it back a bit. Yep. Or now we're going to take this a little further. Like, I do think that when you look at some of the big ones, the live service games that yep. can actually survive, it is the ones that listen to the feedback. And PlayStation right now are in a place looking at their first party studios. I'm really hoping that they're looking at the feedback of what everyone else is doing and that they're going to put their best foot forward
yep.
because you only get one first impression.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they need to knock it out of the park, because if they put out one of these that works and that the PlayStation audience can wrap their head around, they can just apply that to the rest of them. And then all of a sudden, they have something where it is this yeah. ongoing
PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale. Bring it back. Make it happen.
That's what we need. Let's make it good this time, though.
Yeah.
Let's make it good this
yeah.
time. Moving on to story number two. The Last of Us comes to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. Naughty Dog tweets out, "We're thrilled to announce The Last of Us will be part of Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights. Prepare to encounter clickers, hunters, and more as you step into the world of Tilu at Horror Nights and Horror Nights Orlando later this year." This is pretty damn cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Have you ever done any of the Halloween Horror Night stuff?
No, I haven't, no.
I have not. I would you be interested in that?
I would. I mean, I am so easily scared. I'm just the worst at horror things, and I kind of love being scared. It's that kind of like terrifying. I don't want to do it. Oh my god, it's amazing, and yeah. you feel that rush. Yeah, I mean that sounds amazing, right? It's one of the biggest IPs in the world right now. Why would you not cash in? Everyone's talking about it. People come up to me being like, "Oh, you're in Final Fantasy 16. Great. Yeah, I've seen that Last of Us." Like, people who don't understand video games at all, they say The Last of Us, and it's become ubiquitous. Like, people who don't have any understanding of PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo, whatever, they're just like, yeah, this is it. And it's such a brilliant TV show. It's such a brilliant story. They've done an amazing job. Why would you not cash in?
And what an amazing moment for video games. Like, we've seen it now. We've had a couple hit movies, a couple yeah. hit TV shows, and more on the way. And for it to be The Last of Us that kind of had this big cultural moment that even the non-gamers now yeah. understand video games in a completely different way. Like,
yeah.
the amount of stories we have, like Andy always talks about, like his mom and dad, like watching him play the opening of Last of Us 1 before mm-hmm. they ended up watching the TV show. And they're just like, this is what video games are? Like, yeah. how is that possible? Those moments are happening for so many people out there. And I think that, like, that this is only going to continue that.
Yeah.
Like, we're seeing the video game kind of domination across all media.
Yeah.
And again, when the quality's there, it's going to speak loudly. And yeah. I feel like Horror Nights it's an institution. People love that stuff. And I feel like they've been kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel when it comes to movie franchises and mm-hmm. things the last couple of years with some of their additional franchises. Moving into video games, and I think they've even done video games before. I think there was a Five Nights at Freddy's one, but this is awesome. And you can imagine how terrifying it could be. Them talking about the clickers, cool, that's one thing. Hunters?
Terrifying.
I don't want to mess with that.
Yeah. Oh, like, I think that we kind of forget, I forgot anyway, that The Last of Us has actually got horror elements to it. Because we do, when we talk about that game, we talk about the story, we talk about the mm-hmm. heart. It's like, you know, Joel and Ellie, that's the story of The Last of Us, because they always do focus on the human aspect of it, the human cost. And then you go, oh yeah, yeah, it's also like one of the most terrifying things. And the clicker is probably the most astonishing creation in video games in the past like 10 years. The noise of that
sound thing, design, man.
It's so
terrifying.
Yeah, it's so amazing. And I think they've really nailed it. And I wouldn't want to go because I think I'd be too scared.
Yeah.
I'd probably piss myself.
Yeah, I've never done it, but I want to. We don't have a Universal near us. We do have what they call Great America near us, and they do a Halloween thing, and it ain't it, y'all. It's really sad. Not good at all. Moving on to story number three, staying in line with games transitioning over to different mediums, Dead Cells is getting an animated series. This comes from Tom Ivan at VGC. Motion Twins announced a Dead Cells animated series following years of requests. The series is being made by Bobby Pills, the French studio behind the game's animated trailers, and co-produced by anime streaming service Animation Digital Network. It'll consist of 10 roughly 7-minute episodes and will launch next year in France before being made available worldwide. The show takes place on a cursed island that's been wracked by a strange plague, according to the description accompanying a teaser trailer. After the island's foolish king develops a remedy that ends up turning the population into monstrous creatures, prophecies depicting a flame-headed hero who will kill the crazy king begin to appear. And so it happens, this beheaded hero is real, but saving a kingdom isn't on his schedule, and he just wants to be left alone. Well, guess who isn't going to be left alone?
Him.
Did you play Dead Cells?
No, I didn't. And I was talking to Cam Hawkins about 4 days ago, and that man was telling me about how much he loved the Dead Cells Castlevania
incredible
thing, and how he gave it a, I think he gave it a 10 at IGN. He was saying.
He did. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's
that's one of the greatest collaborations in video game history. It's like you see two things and you're like, yeah, those would go good together, and then they're like, hey, here's them together, and you're like, it's even better than I thought.
Yeah. I like it speaks for itself really. No, I haven't played it. I feel like a dick for not having played it. But yeah, why not? It's we when you have an established IP that people really seem to love, this is, just look at the art style, right? It's absolutely ripe for turning into something like this.
Absolutely. And they're already doing it, right? Like it being the same team that's already done the animated shorts and teasers for this, I think is awesome. I would highly recommend you play this. I know you have a long flight ahead of you at some point. And it's available everywhere. So Dead Cells is one of those games where I first played it on the way to a wedding that was in Minnesota. Mm. So I had a pretty long flight and I was just like, I'm just going to try this out and see, because IGN gave it a 10.
Yeah.
And I was like, and that's a whole story to itself. But I was like, I'm gonna give this thing a shot. Started playing it and then the plane landed. And I was like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
I've been playing this for 6 hours. Like, I am addicted to this. And then that was all I could think about the entire weekend. Dead Cells is very, very, very good.
Well, I think
very difficult.
But that's the thing, right? With roguelites, they that's what happens with them. You just get completely absorbed with one more run. It's a roguelite, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not talking about my ass.
And it's totally the one more run type game.
Yeah,
sure.
One more run. I mean, I like, you know, the first roguelite that I really got into, obviously, like everyone else around late bloomers to it, but was Hades for me. And I had the one more run. I mean, I rinsed that game for all it was worth. So I understand that feeling. Then I went into Returnal and did exactly the same thing. So I can be a glutton for punishment with that. But like Dead Cells, when people say you like those two games, go play Dead Cells.
Dude, that's the answer, man. Dead Cells was my first. Hades was the next one.
Great.
Returnal ended up being a little too hard for me. But yeah, here's the thing with Hades. Can you imagine a Hades animated thing?
I mean, I can. I can. and I would like it, please. So if you could do that. I do think we have seen the power of cross-media right now with this stuff. Like we saw it with Cyberpunk, like how I mean, I wasn't gonna play Cyberpunk, and then I watched Edgerunners, and I was like, I'm downloading this. Like it brings people in who wouldn't not necessarily think of it as a game. It was the same with Arcane, right? That TV show, I just went, what? There are characters, and this is a game, and obviously I'm not gonna go and get into that world. That is
a little too much.
A little too much for me, but the power of that to at least introduce people to a world that seems more palatable and doesn't have that sense of restriction, because you do have to like play a game or buy a console for it. Like this is a really great way in, and I love that this is kind of happening more and more and more with these properties, and companies are recognizing the power of the stories within these properties as well.
Absolutely. I think Arcane is such a great example of that, like you were saying, because it is a genre of game that is not going to appeal to many gamers out there because it's just a little too different. But I feel like it is that nice bridge of like, well, hey, give it a try. Maybe it is for you. You might think it's not for you, but it might be. And just the familiarity with the characters when the quality level is as high as Arcane was, right? And Edgerunners as well. Like that, those are incredible shows, and their art styles are stunning. It makes you interested in League of Legends in a way that you definitely were not before. And if you are into League of Legends, it's your great I told you so moment. In the same way that so many of us with Last of Us were able to our friends and family be like, this is video games. I told you it's this good. And that feels good, you know what I mean? And I just feel like it's celebrating. It's the opposite of gatekeeping. It's welcoming people in and giving people opportunities to have a touchstone, especially for some things that might be a little more difficult. Like Dead Cells might be too hard for people, but you might be able to watch the show and be like, oh, I enjoy it, and I'm getting something out of this. And I understand so much of what makes games special to me is the music and the atmosphere and the voice acting and things like that. That could be applied to a show. It doesn't need to be a game.
I think we're just going to see more and more of this because, you know, as TV... as content is needed more, and I use the word content specifically, like there's this voracious need for people to consume whatever it is because it's quite transient. We watch something and then we just throw it away, right? We've done it, we've watched it, we move on. Have you done this yet? Have you done this yet? And we're getting to a point where you can't create new IP quick enough. So where are we going to go? We're probably going to go to the richest kind of like unmined place of IP, which is video games, and going, well, they already have an established audience. We can bring them in and we can create new audiences for it as well. So I think it kind of works both ways. And I think with the success of, I mean, Castlevania as well, like the success of the, obviously the Mario movie. So it's Mario for me. I'm English.
We have Twisted Metal coming out soon.
Yeah.
Get hyped, everybody.
Everyone's hyped for Twisted Metal. It's just going to happen more and more as people recognize that these are things that you can make with worlds and inbuilt audiences. That means you're already going to get an audience for it. I mean, you see it on Netflix. You see the churn out, right? You see amazing TV shows. One series done. Because the algorithm is saying, what's new? I want the next hit show. And if they don't have the next hit show, they'll throw it away and then create the next hit show. And if they know that video games work, then that's where they're going to go.
Yeah.
And hopefully they do them justice.
And even then, The Witcher on Netflix, which is an even more interesting idea where it's not based on the game. It's based on the book, but the game's based on the book too. So it feels like a video game show, even though it's not technically. But it's like, it kind of counts and kind of doesn't. Like, I just like that that's where we're at now, where things don't need to be clean. It can just be whatever it needs to be quality-wise, and then that's going to affect people the way that it's going to. I saw some people in the stats saying 10 millions of people play League of Legends. No, I know that.
Yeah.
But I feel like the Venn diagram of people that play League of Legends and the people that play the majority of the games we've talked about today, there's not that many. There are some of them, for sure, but I feel like if you play League, that's what you play.
Yeah.
Like it's one of those games. It's your life game.
Yeah, but that's we're in a world of life games now. Everyone's playing a life game. You can't just, when people play Fortnite, oh, that's the game that I play, because that is the game where everything's in it that you can do it. Like, people are constantly trying to make the next life game, and that's impossible, because if someone's life is already dominated by one game, how are you going to draw back into it? And in for a penny, in for a pound, these people, if you've been in for 3 years and you've got all the skins in that, you're not going to walk away from something. So that becomes what you primarily play. We talk about it. When I speak to gamers, and I say, what do you play? It'll usually be in the UK. It'll be FIFA and it'll be Call of Duty because that's what they have the time to play. So getting into new stuff can be impenetrable. And like, you know, League of Legends, if you play that, man, you live and breathe it.
Thank you so much. I need to let everybody know that this morning, thank you, Nick. This morning I got my friend Kat, my friend Ben, some coffee from Starbucks. I got myself, as you guys know, my Trent Iced coffee like I always get. Getting out of the car in the parking lot, my drink falls over. We have a curse here at Kinda Funny. I don't know if you guys saw. Not one, not two.
I did.
But three coffees were dropped at Summer Game Fest. Thank you so much. And it was not on purpose, obviously. But here we are now. Thank you, Barrett.
Came in bereft this morning. It was like you were like a shell of yourself when you came in. You couldn't believe what had happened.
I need an excessive amount of liquid in me at all times. And this is liquid that runs me. But you know what runs Kinda Funny? Ads. Here's a word from our sponsors. I love how much hype there is in the chat for you being here, and also how much hype there is in people in the chat for me being able to be here with you.
Really?
Like, this is just so cool for Tim. Really? And I'm like, you guys are right. This is
really,
it really cool
for you? Because this is really cool for me. I feel like we're having a bit of a love-in right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm nice. So excited to meet you. I listen to this show every day at the gym. Like, that is you are literally the soundtrack to my workout.
And that's the difference between these two people sitting here right now. He listens to things at the gym. I don't have time to listen to anything ever because I'm never at
this. Well, if you want, I can create a soundtrack and you can just listen to me in the gym.
I mean, it's kind of just Final Fantasy 16,
yeah,
right?
Great,
just playing that demo over and over and over.
Yeah, I'm not going to say what happens in the demo, but maybe you don't want to listen to all of it.
Yeah. That's a good call.
Some of it's quite hard to listen to.
Story number four. Forza Studio Turn 10 is working on a new car customization game for mobile. This comes from Jordan Midler at VGC. Forza developer Turn 10 Studios is collaborating on a new standalone car customization game for mobile. London-based mobile racing game developer Hutch, who made Rebel Racing, F1 Clash, and Top Drives, is leading development of the title, with creative input and guidance being offered by the Xbox studio. There was no mention of the game's name or release window in Thursday's announcement, with the companies promising to reveal the title fully in due course. Our philosophy for game development is mobile first, with gameplay experiences that work for players on this platform. We're committed to creating strategic games that enable our community of players to celebrate their passion for cars. This is pretty interesting when you look at it as a first party making a mobile game.
So just get me right, this isn't a racing game. This is you just customize cars.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of feels like something that you wouldn't necessarily do on your console, but something that you can, you know, mindlessly do, But, you know, you have a couple of seconds, a couple of minutes, you can do it on your phone. That's great, right? It's like, ultimately, these things, they want you to engage in as many ways as possible. It makes sense that you would, like, you would do that. But, yeah, first party, man.
It's interesting because it's like what you're talking about, like the mode. How much time do people spend on Netflix just blading through the options and not even watching something? Mm-hmm. Like, that's an event to its own. Is that good? Is that bad? Probably leans bad, but it's something people do.
Yeah.
When you think about video games, we have a lot of friends out there, Fran Mirabella, who spends more time in menus than he does actually playing video games for things like The Division or when you can kind of tweak every little tiny thing. I remember playing Need for Speed Underground and spending just as much time customizing my car as I did racing it, or playing certain RPGs where I boot it up and I'm like, I know I'm never even going to beat this game, but I spent 3 hours in the character customizer, right? Like, I feel like this actually is a surprisingly good idea for
really good idea.
Mobile or otherwise. But to have it be mobile, I'm like, I like where mobile games are going, where there is kind of a new standard of, it's not just Angry Birds and it's not just taking an IP that we know and making it Angry Birds. It's like, it could be so much more. Like, I was recently playing and talking about Final Fantasy VII Ever Crisis, and still have many, many questions about what that game actually is. Mm-hmm. But from what I played, I'm like, this is kind of the dream. Yep.
I think maybe developers are realizing what can actually be, what mobile can actually be used for. I think maybe at the beginning, when you had these powerful machines at your fingertips, you wanted to create a one-for-one facsimile of a video game that you would play on your 55-inch TV. And it just isn't as good. It just isn't as good. Especially when the touchpads don't work, you know, I have fat thumbs. Like, it's just not possible. So it's like, how do we extend that gameplay experience to mobile? And we've kind of gone through these growing pains, and now we're seeing stuff like, that's cool. Like, what was the Resident Evil save room game, where it's literally just you, it's not actually Resident Evil, it's just the idea of it being Resident Evil, and you just assort you have the items and you have to put them inside.
Oh, that's so funny. I didn't see this.
This is like a really popular game. I think it maybe came out like last year or 2 years ago. And people love it. It's just like increasingly complex items that you've just got to shove in your case for Resident Evil.
That is hilarious.
Because people want to do it. Like, I spent hours on Persona 5 Royal just like organizing my personas, just sitting there, just mindlessly doing it because I just wanted to do that, right? Unpacking as well, a game where you just put stuff in place. People want things to be in the right order, in the way that they want it, and they want to be seen. And I imagine, what's the most powerful thing on Fortnite is how you look, how your character looks. They understand that aesthetics are really important.
Mm-hmm.
So what you've got here is the opportunity to create a car, design it how you want, share it. Sharing. People want it, you'd want to show what your car looks like. And you know that when that comes out, there's going to be a hashtag that is this, and everyone's going to be sharing what their cars are, and it's going to look really cool. Like, it makes sense. They're on to something here.
And the fact that it's from Turn 10, like, it's Forza. It's not just, oh, it's a car customization thing. Like, you like this mode in these games. It's like, no, this is like from, at this point, the premier racing game.
It's going to be the best looking car customization you've ever seen in your life.
On mobile, right? And you're talking about the touchscreen and all that stuff. Like, that is all clearly still a problem. But I think that we're almost through the point of there being more than enough options for you, whether it's the backbone controller attachment or just Bluetooth controllers. Yeah. Like, I feel like this was the generation where Nintendo, PlayStation, Xbox, those controllers can work on mobile and work across systems in way easier than they ever have. You might need to buy a Bluetooth adapter or something like that, but like small investments can make your mobile gaming console gaming.
Yes. I would also say that the words here are, Forza developer Turn 10 Studios is collaborating on a new standalone car customization. They're obviously not going to be the ones that are, they might be leading it, but it's like, when you do a press release like this, right, you want to know that, what's the stamp of approval? Turn 10's all over it. Mm-hmm. They're going to have the power of veto, but you know that they're not going to be taking away from them developing the next Forza game.
Exactly.
They're the ones that, like, other teams, very talented teams, go away and make it. They then bring it to Turn 10 and go, is this what we want? Yes. Tweaks, 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 tweaks. Seal of approval. Off you go. So, yeah, pretty
cool.
Absolutely.
Moving on, story number 5. 4 new PSVR 2 games have been announced from the PlayStation blog. You know, every once in a while, PS blog will just do a dump out of nowhere of like, hey, like, we're going to talk about indie games. And they just announced 13 of them or whatever. Nice. So here we are. Today, we announced four new titles making their way onto PSVR 2 in the near future. Below, you can enjoy the reveal trailers, plus additional details about new games such as Pixel Ripped 1995, Tiger Blade, and Seventh Guest VR, plus get the first look at the debut, PSVR 2 debut of the critically acclaimed Wanderer, The Fragments of Fate. Barrett, I'm going to go game by game here. If you can bring up Tiger Blade. Thank you very much. Tiger Blade brings all the stylish, adrenaline-soaked combat of the very best of Korean neo-noir action cinema to PSVR 2. Slash and blast your way through ranks of hoodlums in a high-stakes chase through the atmospheric and meticulously recreated marketplaces, docks, alleys, and streets of Sewoon. Tiger Blade is designed to be highly replayable with a scoring and ranking system, online leaderboards, and speedrunning and secondary objectives. Looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
I like the stylized little like comic booky bang-bang yeah. and like the slicing of the sword and stuff. Wanderer, The Fragments of Fate. You can discover rich worlds, encounter heart-pounding action, and solve mind-bending puzzles as you rewrite the past to reshape the future. It is a remake of the award-winning, critically acclaimed Wanderer, completely reimagined for the next generation of Ooh. VR. Then, are we having a problem, Barrett? Internet? Should we keep going? Cool, we're going to keep going.
I think your words were vivid enough for us to imagine what that looks
like. Took the internet down.
Oh my God,
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
We always know there's a problem going on when the chat just starts being all F, and it's like, cool.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's internet. It happens. This is still being recorded, though. So
oh my God, I don't mind.
Hanging out.
Hey, listen, I don't need people to watch me to talk to you.
What are you planning on playing on the plane back?
Tears of the Kingdom.
Oh, yeah. What a stupid question.
I don't know why, Tim, I don't know why you're asking me this. It's like, stop asking such stupid questions.
Where are you at?
I'm really not that far at all. I would say that I am like I literally started it on the plane over, so this is really, really, really early.
Awesome.
I had to hold back because I was doing so many other things. I was filming and I didn't have access to it. I was doing Metroid Prime Remastered at first, which is what I had, and then it came out whilst Tears of the Kingdom came out whilst I was filming, and I was like, oh God, I have to wait. Then I did Resident Evil, and now it's Tears of the Kingdom whilst I'm here. So I just love how quick it was for the time to penis on that game. That is just absolutely remarkable.
Of course.
I was enjoying
new record, probably.
Now we're at the point where I feel so intimidated because I just see everyone's like mega mechs. Like they've entirely recreated Metal Gear Solid in that game.
But oh my God.
Yeah, I can't wait to have my 11-hour flight back and just really, really get into it.
I can't believe it. Like, yeah. It's just such a mind-blowing game where I was really scared about it because Breath of the Wild, I absolutely love. But I traditionally not a big open-world guy. I like more linear experiences. I like things that are a little bit more designed. And the more they talked about Tears of the Kingdom with the building and things like that, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And oh, man, I'm hooked. I am just so in. I'm similar to you, like, not nearly as far as I want to be.
Yeah.
I'm about 50 plus hours in, and I've only done like 1/4 of the main story stuff. And I'm like so happy that I still get to play this game like forever. Mm-hmm. It feels like
It's going to be your forever game. It feels like the game that you can, you know, because the story isn't a necessarily propelling feature within the game. It's that sense of exploration that everyone wants out of a video game. And, you know, it can be the game that you can play for a bit, put it aside, play something else, come back to. Mm-hmm. And I think this year is so, I really think this year is going to be up there with, you know, like the 1998, the 2004, like those years in video games 100%. Where we go, these are kind of some of the genre defining video games that shape what the next generation of games are going to look like. And this year really has just been hit after hit. It's both a celebration of the past with the remakes of Dead Space and Resident Evil, like these games where we recognize what's come before, and then we've also got like a look at the future of like what's possible. Final Fantasy 16, Zelda, Diablo, Street Fighter 6,
Hi-Fi Rush. We have Starfield. We have Spider-Man 2
Spider-Man
still on the
2,
way.
And all the games that we don't know about.
On the
well.
Indie side, Viewfinder.
I'm Plucky Squire, which I'm just like super excited about. Like we are being served so many brilliant games, whether it be on the indie side or whether it be on the AAA side. And I'm so intimidated, but feel so lucky to be kind of a part of this
Mortal
period
Kombat.
Game. That trailer at SGF just, it blew my mind. And the fact that people got to play that, I don't know how it
Andy
plays.
Andy and Bless played it.
If it plays as good as it looks, that was just amazing.
Alan Wake 2. All right, y'all. Yeah. This is going to be a big year. But taking it back a little bit here, let's go back to Wanderer. Barrett, if we could do that. There we go. Yeah, so this is what Wanderer looks like. It's a remake of the award-winning, critically acclaimed Wanderer, completely reimagined for the next generation of VR. That was quite the transition there.
Whoa, yeah.
And then next up, we have Pixel Ripped 1995. You can experience the nostalgia of the golden era of gaming like never before. This wacky adventure is a game within a game as our virtual hero Dot sets out to restore balance across various dimensions. The solution is to recruit the best gamer of 1995, an 11-year-old named David. Your quest will see you explore a range of games, each designed as a loving homage to 16-bit and 32-bit classics. Very cool.
Yeah, it looks love that. Cool.
And then the final one's The Seventh Guest VR. We're thrilled to announce that the iconic 90s supernatural mystery, The Seventh Guest, is being brought back to life with cutting-edge PSVR 2 technology, new spaces to explore, and with a new technical benchmark of its own, 3D live-action graphics by way of ghostly volumetric video capture.
That looks very cool.
Cool. But yeah, cool, PSVR 2. Are you a VR guy at all?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope.
Could anything get you to be?
Nope. I think VR is a super important thing for the progression of video games, and I love that that PlayStation do it. I love that you have so many people out there who are pushing it forward, and I think it's really important tech, and I think it's really important for players to get to do that if they want. I get sick really easily, so I just don't do it. Mm-hmm. Like, I have limited playtime as is, and I have a very small house, so it's just not possible. But again, people don't just make games for me, and they don't make games just for you. They make games for people who want to play that. And I think the fact that Sony are really pushing PSVR 2, they're releasing new games for it. Maybe it didn't have that initial push that people wanted, but that if they keep, you know, if they keep creating stuff that people want to play, then go for it.
This is it. I hope we keep seeing this, right? Yeah. I hope that, like, PSVR 2, not for me, but it is for people out there. Trust me, we see the comments. There's a dedicated audience out there that loves PSVR 2 specifically, and I hope that they're well-fed. And I want to see more of these blog posts, hopefully on, like, some type of monthly cadence or something of just these cool experiences, because those four games we just saw, at least two of them, I'm like, I'm kind of interested in that.
And also, like, amazing devs make them, you know, and devs who work incredibly hard on these games who should be celebrated and who will then go on to make a game that maybe you do play. So I think their, you know, their work should be celebrated. So, yeah.
Yeah. Story number six. This is another one that we hate to have to talk about, but it's 2023. Subway Surfer studio Kilo Games lays off staff before July closure. This comes from Justin Carter at Game Developer. Danish developer Kilo Games is closing down. On LinkedIn, design director Thomas Frolik says the studio's 100-person staff was served with a warning about termination by the end of the month. I'm grateful for all the great people I've met along the way, either internally or in collaborations with other studios. Thank you to all my colleagues for the experiences we've shared. Thank you to all the players that have enjoyed our game, and thank you to Kilo for all the learnings. His statement's further corroborated by other employees on LinkedIn who said that they were looking for work. Kilo was founded in 2000 by Jacob Moeller and was later joined by his brother Simon to run the company. Over the decades, the developers developed mobile games for brands like Lego, Worms, and Denmark's 1990 franchise Hugo. In 2012, it released Subway Surfers, an endless runner for iOS that was co-developed by SYBO Games. Following its release to Android the same year, it became extremely popular and had over 1 billion downloads in early 2018. I hate that these stories just keep happening.
Yep.
And here's even one of the biggest mobile games of all time. Mm-hmm. And granted, we're many years away from its peak, but still, 1 billion downloads in 2018. That's not that long ago.
Nope. But it shows you how much has changed since 2018 and how much the industry is constantly in flux. Like, you can be the biggest thing in the world for 2 years and then disappear.
Yeah.
Like, it's just sucks, really, doesn't it? Because people who work really hard on stuff, they get celebrated, the fat cats at the top get all the money, and then that kind of basically this happens. So I don't know, it's bad, and all you have to say is I hope people manage to find work as a result and things move on. But yeah, this, I mean, I listen to all these episodes, it's pretty much all you hear every single day basically is another layoff, and that's a shame.
Yeah, definitely is. Obviously, our hearts go out to all of you, and also I know there's a kind of funny best friend that runs the social account for them, because when we had our hellish plane ride back here, where we were stuck on the plane for like 5 hours and Greg went live on the Instagram, Subway Surfers was replying to us.
Yeah.
It was like, that's really weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, an unfortunate timing on all of that.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Story number 7, Star Ocean, the Second Story R remake leaked. This comes from George Yang at IGN. A logo for Star Ocean, the Second Story R is leaked via Square Enix's support website. Spotted by RPG site, the banner with the logo was found on Square Enix's official support site, but since been taken down. The link that leads to the logo now shows a box with the words, no image. Mm. Star Ocean, the Second Story is the second game in developer Tri-Ace's Star Ocean series, which is published by Square Enix. The game was released for the original PlayStation in 98. An enhanced version of the game, Star Ocean Second Evolution, was released in 2008 for PSP.
Yeah.
You a Star Ocean guy?
I'm not a Star Ocean guy, but I am a Square Enix guy. So, you know, my Lord and Savior Square Enix, thank you for that.
As you look,
I would never
screen.
Do anything to suggest or imply that any such leak existed. And I thank you for employing me for so long. Yeah. You know, this stuff happens. It's unavoidable, right? 2023. Like, I'm amazed at, like, people want to know information. We all know information. I think it's a shame when stuff like this can happen. We don't know when that's going to come out. Devs are working on it. They want to release it at the right time. Like, I obviously, they would never tell me anything about anything, so I can't, you know, corroborate whether this is true or not. But it's a shame.
You being a PlayStation guy, you being an RPG guy,
yeah.
Would you be interested in getting into Star
yeah.
Ocean?
Oh my God, yeah. Massively. Like, I really love RPGs, but RPGs take a long time to play, mm-hmm. and I do have a life, so it's about me picking what I play when I play it. But yeah, Sarah, it looks cool, man. There's so many games this year that I need to play that my backlog is just filling up. But yeah, I remember seeing these and thinking, how is some of this possible? Like, the scope of Star Ocean back in the day just seems completely like, I'm sorry, you're talking about what? You're talking about like galaxies and universes and people are traveling? That seems crazy.
That was back in the day when video game magazines, like, the level of quality of an RPG was, how long is it?
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, it's not even 100 hours. Yeah. Like, I don't know about this one.
Yeah, it wasn't worth it. But yeah, you know, look, 1998, that's got an amazing pedigree. People are excited for the next one. It's a shame. It's a shame. It's a shame this got leaked. But yeah, I mean, I'll play it. But go on.
Exciting is coming.
Yeah.
Story number 8. Kojima's hanging out with Nick Cage. I love that Hideo Kojima is probably the only human being, and Nicolas Cage, I guess, as well, that just them tweeting something is a new story on Kind of Funny Games yeah. Daily more often than not, because there's always some conversation to be had here. Mm-hmm. Kojima tweets, with our dear Nicolas Cage, and it's just a picture of him, the Ludus, I think it's called, their logo.
Is it Ludens?
Character, Ludens. And Nick Cage rocking another dope blazer.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about this?
I have to say that Nicolas Cage, in the span of what, a week, has probably become the best loved man in the video game industry. I appreciate him getting up on stage. He seemed really cool and really like genuine. And that's a hard, you know, it wasn't a have some tequila, enjoy your gaming. It was like, I love that. And of course, this was going to happen.
Yeah.
This was inevitable.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when Jeff announced it, I was right at the back of the auditorium and I just stood up and shouted really loudly, "Bring him on, you coward!" And he did, and it made me very happy. Of course it was. Like, Hideo Kojima, man, he gets the big guns. And I know how many people in the film industry just are obsessed with him. I think I'd heard somewhere that like one of the main reasons they got Al Pacino to do the Game Awards was just because he wanted to meet Hideo Kojima. Like, that's an incredible
power.
The power of that man, who has been such a force in this industry, that actors want to work with him and they want to meet him and they want to kind of celebrate what he does for video games, but what he does for entertainment as well.
So here's the question. Is Nicolas Cage in Death Stranding too?
100% confirmed. Look at that picture. Of course he is. What are you talking about?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I really do. And
way they came away from that meeting and they didn't get him to do something.
Something.
Like, even just getting body scans.
Yeah.
Like, similar to how Keeley was in DS1, right?
Yeah.
Like, he just shows up as a hologram. Like, 100% someone's going to find Nick Cage, and I can't wait to see the first person reveal that.
And they didn't have time, so he's going to look exactly like that. Like, he's going to turn up, and we're not going to explain it, and he's going to have the red glasses on.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
Oh, Ben. I don't know if Nicolas Cage is going to be in Death Stranding 2. Finding out, it's just so far away. If I want to know what's coming to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show hosts.
each and every weekday.
Do 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 do. Yeah, he didn't even look at the fucking screen.
Can you cut to the to my one real quick? That was not on this. That's on a different page. He just did that from memory.
Yeah.
Incredible.
I've wanted to say that for years. And I say it sometimes. I mouth it with the people who say it. So, yeah, thank you for letting me do that, everyone.
Oh, I love it so much. Out today. Oh, God. This one's from Mike. We have Crime Boss Rocket City on PS5, Xbox Series X, and S. Woo! Wait, isn't that game out? How is it out again?
So here's the thing. When it got announced, it was like, all right, and then it's coming soon. And we're like, all right, cool. And then 2 weeks before it came out on PC, we're like, wait, that game's coming out in 2 weeks? And it did on PC. But no other platform, and it was just not talked about by anybody except for one snowbike Mike Howard.
I love it. I love it. Jack Jean is on Switch. Layers of Fear 2023 on PS5, Xbox Series X, and PC. Dad by the Sword on PC. Park Beyond on PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X. Fall of Porcupine everywhere. Heist Kitty on PC. Cool.
Yep.
Jor-El's Brother and the Most Important Game of the Galaxy on PC. Pixel Ripped 1978 on PC and PS5. Wait a minute. What was the name of that VR game that we talked about earlier? Pixel Rip 1995.
Hey, they release one.
Is there a Pixel Rip 1978 and 1995?
It's like Madden. They just release one every single year, and they have done it. They have done it for years, and we just don't know. The legacy of Pixel Rip goes way back.
That's really interesting. All right, and then Undawn on a. Is it the same thing?
He is ripped.
It seems to be the same concept, but yeah, just different decade.
Huh. Very bizarre. Undawn on mobile and PC. New dates for you. Koa and the Five Pirates of Mara launches on July 29th for Xbox One and Series X and S. PS4 and 5, Switch and PC. Deals of the day. The Epic Game Store's next free title has been announced. The Hunter Call of the Wild will be free to download from Epic's PC Marketplace from June 22nd to June 29th. Remember, if you're buying games on Epic Game Store, use Kinda Funny as the creator code. Even for free games, we still get paid. We still get money. So just use our code. They have free stuff. We get money. It's awesome.
Give Tim money.
Please.
He deserves money. Look at this man. He deserves it.
Deserve the money. All right. Now it's time to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to see what we got wrong.
Nothing.
Let's see. Nanobiologist writes in and says Halloween Horror Nights has had several video game houses before. Silent Hill in 2012, Resident Evil in 2013, but only in Orlando, and two Resident Evil mazes, biohazard houses in 2015 and 2019 in Japan. Very cool. The game that you were talking about, it is called Save Room Organization Puzzle.
Save Room. That's what it is, yeah.
It came out on PC in April 2022 and on PlayStation, Switch, and Xbox November 11th.
Thank you.
Nana also says Kojima's mascot is Ludens. Ludens.
We did it, Nana. We did it. You and me.
All right, cool. Yeah, there we go. That's been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Ben, this has been utterly fantastic, we're not done with you yet.
Are we not?
We have a whole day.
Yeah, we do.
We're hanging out. So right after this, we're about to do the live super chat thing where if you're watching over on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, you can leave your super chats, ask some questions for any story we talked about today, video games in general, or just any question you have for this beautiful man right here. So we're going to be doing that. And then stay tuned because after that, I mean, Andy's joining us right now. But after that, Andy, Mike, and Ben are going to be playing through the demo of Final Fantasy 16, and then see where the adventure takes us all. So it's going to be a great time. You've been utterly fantastic. I want to let you know right now, this will not be the last time you're on the show.
Oh, are you kidding?
We might need to call you when it gets you on the wall. But
yeah.
You got to do this.
Oh my God, you were born for this.
You're born for many things.
Thank you.
You were born for this.
To be honest, I would gladly quit being an actor just so I could come and work part-time at Kinda Funny.
You know, if I've heard it once, I've heard it a thousand times. I would not advise it at all.
But genuinely, thank you. And thank you to everyone who's watched. Like, it is an absolute honor to be here.
It is so cool. Everybody, Final Fantasy 16 out in just a few short weeks. No, that's not even true. It is out in a week.
1 week.
What? Is it a week from today?
Oh, wow.
What day is it?
What day is it?
It's the 22nd, right? That it's coming out?
1 week.
Well, everyone play the demo until then.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
Does the demo progress carry over to the main game?
Yes,
it does. It does, everybody. It does. Hey! Yeah, it does. does. You can get a little head start now. Well, anyways, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. We're each and every weekday live right here on YouTube.com/Kind of Funny Games and Twitch.tv/Kind of Funny Games. We run you through the nerdy video game news that you need to know. Until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.